6 weeks to Hanukkah, we'd like to study the Pachad Yitzchak on Hanukkah. It's a massive work, and perhaps if we do one shiur a week, or one mimer a week, maybe we'll get to the end of at least major chunks of the Pachad Yitzchak. Now we're going to study Imritz Hashem Maimer Dalid, which you'll find on page Lamed Ches. The Maimer begins with a quote from the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Chav Gimel. The Gemara quotes the bracha, the Nusach HaBracha, Birchas HaMitzvah on Ner Chanukah, Asher Kidshon HaMitzvah, Sovetzivonu LaHadlik Ner Chanukah. And the bracha expresses the fact that we were commanded in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. The Gemara asks, Heichan Tzivonu, where do we find a source in the Torah that we can say Asher Kidshon HaMitzvah, Sovetzivonu? After all, Ner Chanukah is the Takonis Chachamim. How could you say Asher Kidshon HaMitzvah, Sovetzivonu? Heichan Tzivonu, where's the Tzivui? And the Gemara quotes one opinion in the name of Rav Avya, the Pasuk Lo Sasur, Rav Nechemya quotes the Pasuk Sha'al Avicha V'Yagedcha, Zkeinecha V'Yomrulach. And the question that we want to raise here is there are many mitzvahs to Rabbanah. In fact, if you take the case of Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim, that preempts Chanukah by a number of centuries. Why would the Gemara raise this question of Heichan Tzivonu with regard to Ner Chanukah and only with regard to Ner Chanukah, with regard to other mitzvahs, Midivrei Sofrim, which came before Ner Chanukah, and many others? We don't find that the Gemara was koveya, some sort of Shakal Vitaria, Kashan Eteretz, about Heichan Tzivonu. We only find it with regard to Chanukah. And to clarify this subject, we want to study the pnimius, the inner meaning of Chanukah, the Nes Chanukah, and perhaps we can come to some conclusion as to why Dafka in the sugya of Ner Chanukah do we find this discussion about Heichan Tzivonu, and of course Sha'al Avicha V'Yagedcha. So first, what we're going to do until we can swing back to answer this question is to study the substance, the inner substance perhaps, of Chanukah. Chanukah, of course, represents the conflict between Malchus Yavan, the kingship of ancient Greece, and their objection to Torah u'mitzvos. Let's look at the nusach that we find that Chazal established with regard to the Hodah of Chanukah. We thank Hashem for the great miracle of Chanukah. The language is such: Kishaamdo Malchus Yavan Harshal Amcha Yisrael, when the evil kingship, the sovereign rulership of Yavan, stood up against Amcha Yisrael, your people of Israel. And here, take a look at the language: Lashkicham Torasecha Ulaviram Michuke Ritzonecha. There's a double language here. Let's start with the Seif, and then we'll go back to explain why the ratio is very difficult. The Sefer says, La'aviram michuke ritzonecha, that Yavan deliberately tried to undermine our loyalty to the rules, to the laws that express the will, with a capital W, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. La'aviram, to cause that we violate that will of God. And that will of God, of course, expressed itself in 613 mitzvos. And yet, let's go back to the Reisha. Lashkicham Torasecha. L'chor, at the face of it, when we speak about Lashkicham Torasecha, to cause us to forget our Torah, it means that Malchus Yavan instituted decrees that would forbid us from studying Torah. They would cause us to be Mavatel Talmud Torah. Instead of dedicating ourselves to the study of Torah, the Greeks would try to prevent us from doing so. But if that's what Hashkachas HaTorah means, we have a little bit of a problem here, because if we're talking in the root of it, the root of the matter, in declaring a prohibition against the study of Torah and outlawing the mitzvah, the chok of Talmud Torah, v'shinantam levanech, etc., etc., then Shichas HaTorah, or Hashkachas HaTorah, is not to be separated as an independent element. It really is included in the general statement of La'aviram michukei ritzonecha, Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of studying of Torah, is the Ratzon of Hashem, it's the will of God, no less than any of the other 612 mitzvahs. If anything, it goes the reverse. That really represents one of the key and central fundamental mitzvahs of Chukei Ritzonecha. And therefore, if what we're saying here is that Yavan forced us, they compelled us to be Mevatel Torah, that itself is, of course, a havara, a violation of Chukei Ritzonecha, of the rules and command, the mandates of Hashem, of your will. And therefore, Bittul Talmud Torah, even though it for sure is Hashkach Satorah, but it doesn't deserve a category, a description of its own. It's rather an extension or a particular application of the general rule of Lavira Michukir Tzenecha. If the Matbea of Anshei Knesset Gdola in this Bracha of Alanisim, which is essential to our entire celebration, our experience of Chanukah and Alanisim, Hashkach Satorah is set up as a category unto itself, then surely we're not talking and we're not totally, how should I say, it would not exhaust itself if we're limiting ourselves to the Gzera, the decree of Yavan that prohibited us from studying Torah and caused us Bittul Talmud Torah, because that itself would be included, as we said before, the general Lavir Malchukei Ritzonecha. What is the meaning of Hashkachas HaTorah, that they cause us to forget the Torah? It seems to be something more profound, more deep in the actual involvement and fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's more than just Bittul Torah, it's Hashkachas HaTorah. And that's why it deserves a category, to be classified as a category of its own. So we want to dedicate ourselves to the study of the concept of Hashkachas HaTorah. Why did Yavan set it as its one of its goals? Hashkachas HaTorah, that was its perhaps primary goal. What is Hashkachas HaTorah? What's the substance of it? So we have two questions. Let's just summarize. First, why do we find that with regard to all the mitzvahs, midibrei sofrim, that we have, Dafka, Ner Chanukah was singled out for the question of Heichan Tzivanu, and the answer of Sha'al Avicha V'Yagedcha Zkenecha V'Yomru Lach? And second question, in the Alanisim, what is this category that's isolated and expressed in and of itself of Hashkachas HaTorah? Let's go beyond this. There are many different expressions and terms that are used with regard to describe leaving the Torah. What we call, in modern language, we call it going off the derech. When our enemies who try to persecute us religiously, they want to bring us to a state of leaving the derech. Their goal can be described in many different terms. When we leave the derech, chas v'shalom, if a person rejects Judaism, you could call him a min. That's a term that appears throughout Shas. You can call him a mumar. He violates the Torah flagrantly. You could call him an apikoris. He's a denier. He's a scoffer. There are many different words that could have been used to describe the goal of our enemies of Yavan in the conflict between Malchus Yavan and Malchus Yisrael. But with regard to this controversy of the Yavanim, we find a different approach, a different direction. What was Yavan's goal? Chazal say, Kisvu Lachem. Yavan demanded of the Jewish people, write Al Keren Ashar, in a very, you know, engrave it, in this case, on the horn of the ox, that's considered a very pertinent. Ein lochem chelik b'elokei Yisrael. Very strange, this phrase that is quoted very often by the Darshanim, those who study the holiday of Chanukah. They want to get an insider grasp into what was the nature of the pulmus, the conflict between Yavan and Yisrael. Yavan's goal was that we declare, Ein lanu chelik b'elokei Yisrael, chas v'shalom. A very strange phrase to negate our chelek, our nachla, so to speak, our inherited portion in the God of Israel. What specific substance or essence can we find here, can we define here, that is unique to Yavan and the goal of Yavan to undermine our chelek, our claim to have a chelek b'Elokei Yisrael. So just again to summarize, Heichan Tzivanu with regard to Chanukah, what is Laviram in addition to Lavir Michuker, it's an Echlash Kicham Torasecha, and finally, what was the attack of Yavan, Ein Lachem Chelek v'Elokei Yisrael? Those three questions. If we discuss and analyze the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and Yavan, we find two sides to the coin. On the one hand, Chazal tell us in the Medrash Rabbah at the beginning of the Torah, in the story of creation, it says, Choshech al pnei tahom. The Torah describes a situation of total darkness. And Chazal say, Zu Yavan. This is an allusion to Yavan. Hamachshicha einayim shel Yisrael. They darken the eyes of Israel. So that Yavan is identified with darkness. But the flip side of the coin is that Chazal tell us that the Holy Writ, Kisvei HaKodesh, you're talking about Nevi'im and Ksuvim, are not to be written in any other language other than Lashon Kodesh, with the exception of Yavanis, of the ancient Greek language, Safa Yavanit, as we call it. And Chazal derived this from the pasuk in Bereishis, Yaft Elokim liyefes v'yishkon bi'olei shem. This pasuk appears at the end of Parshas Noach, and it refers to Yefes. Yefes is the mother or the ancestor of Yavan, and shem, of course, the ancestor of Klal Yisrael. Chazal interpret Yaft Elokim liyefes, what's Yafa, what's beautiful about Yefes, and what's its relationship with Trin Yishkon, the Ole Shem, it so to speak, resides in the tents of Shem. Chazal say Yaf Yifuso shall Yefes be Ole Shem. The beauty of Yefes, which refers to their language, the ancient Greek, finds itself, it enters into the tents of shame. And that teaches us that Kisvei HaKodesh can be written in Greek. There must be some very unique dimension to the controversy, the conflict between Yavan and Yisrael to understand, to explain why on the one hand, Yavan represents darkness with regard to Torah and with regard to Am Yisrael. On the other hand, the Torah is written in Chochmah Yavanis. We pay tribute to Yavan as the descendant of Yefes. Yaft Elokim liYefes. Yaf Yifuso shall Yefes be Olei Shem. Quite clearly, we have here a very unique relationship with, as we said before, two sides of a coin, two polar extremes. We find in Chazal an interpretation of a pasuk in Tanakh, Yesharim ki Yesharim darkei Hashem, the pathways, the journeys, the roads to God are Yesharim, they're straight. Tzadikim yelchubam uposhim yikashlubam. Both the tzadikim and on the other extreme the poshim are walking, so to speak, traveling down the same path, the road of Darkei Hashem. And yet for the tzaddikim, they go upright, straight. The poshim fall. They trip and fall on the same road. In other words, even though good and evil for sure are on two different pathways, and their head-on collision, the hisnagdus of one to the other, is because of the antithetical nature, the opposite nature and direction of their pathways, but nevertheless there's one kind of conflict and friction between good and evil, which is even deeper. And that is when they are both going on the same pathway. They have the same direction. They walk together, so to speak, on the same shvil, on the same pathway, and yet one goes upright, komimius, the other falls and trips. And that face, that reflection of evil, where its contact with good is very profound, it's like two lines that overlap until they finally separate in different directions at some sort of crossroads, that expression of evil is even more profound in its conflict, in its objection against good, than classical good and evil, evil and good. When good and evil are clearly going down two pathways, two roads that separate and go in opposite directions, the danger inherent in the conflict between good and evil is low key. It's relatively minimal because it's clear the difference between evil and good is like day and night. They go in two opposite directions, never to meet. However, when the source of evil is in good, and both evil and good walk the same pathway, what we call Darkei Hashem, and yet at some point there is a conflict, a head-on collision between evil and good, here the face of evil is very profound and very powerful. And the milchama, the battle, goes all the way down to the roots of goodness, because evil starts with the same root, the same beginning point. Just as a mashal, if you talk about feuds or hatred, enmity, you find that the most profound enmity on a psychological level is between relatives. When you have relatives that came from the same source, from the same parents or grandparents, and they fight, family feuds, those are the most profound because of the common roots and beginnings of the family members. And the roots that are set down of such enmity are very, very profound. And they simply burst out to very far places. And here, what we're going to analyze in the conflict between Yavan and Knesset Yisrael is that they both begin with the same Darkei Hashem. They both begin by walking down the same pathway to reveal wisdom. Now, in order to really put this point into perspective, because this is the great breakthrough, the Pachad Yitzchak says something really brilliant, an amazing chiddush. He says that, where does the will of God reveal itself? Well, of course, for us, as Jews, we accepted the Torah at Har Sinai. That's the revelation of the will of God. But if we go back in history, or we go back to a non-Jewish nation like Yavan that doesn't have the Torah, then there is an entire system, a pathway, so to speak, to find and disclose the will of God by analyzing creation. The creative process of God and the natural order of the universe, which was created by Sora Mamoros with 10 annunciations of Almighty God, that itself is the revelation of the will of God. These are Sora Mamoros express the will of God in creation. And then we have an entirely different system. And that's Maivet Har Sinai, the Torah that was given again with the number 10, but here we're not referring to 10 utterances that create the world, but rather 10 revelations in the Aseres HaDibros. Again, whether you're talking about the Asara Ma'amaros Shedivra Bololam, or the Aseres HaDibros, or Anochi Hashem Elokecha, etc., both are revelations of the will of God. But there is a deep inner distinction and contrast between the two. And that is in the way they go from potential to actual. So now we're going to analyze the fundamental difference, the gap between the Asorah Mamoros and the Asorah Sadibros. The will of God that reveals itself in Bereishis and creation, its pattern of reality of existence is what we call Derech Hechrech. There's no room for random selection, freedom of choice, decision-making process. It's Hechrech. God expresses Yehi Or, let there be light, and there is light. In contrast, when we get to the Asorah Mamoros, when Hashem says in the Torah, Lo Tishtachavet, don't worship an idol, that is an expression of God that can be fulfilled through, not Hechrech, but through Cherus, through freedom, through Bechirach of Shit, through freedom of choice. When one studies what's called Chachmas HaTeva, which means science, the study of the laws of nature, then his wisdom, when he analyzes the laws and regulations that govern nature, is to analyze the will of God that reveals itself in the Asorah Mamoros as a matter of Hechrech. This study of the wisdom and the will of God is a study of Matan Hechrech. God's will expresses itself, reveals itself in this context, in the Asorah Mamoros and Bereishis, in Hechrech. And that's why you'll find that Chazal speak about this study of science as Chochmah Chitzonis, in contrast to Chochmah Satorah, external or more superficial wisdom. Because when we're talking about the will of God and it's expressed itself in the Torah, you're talking about Matan Cherus, freedom. That's a much more profound understanding of the will of God. God is telling you, here's your choice, this is what I want you to fulfill. So when Chazal speak about Chochmah Chitzonis, the study of wisdom, of natural, universal science, all of wisdom, with the exception of Chochmas HaTorah, is described by Chazal as Chochmah Chitzonis, it means, because the Chitzonis means the external, the inner, the primius of the Asorah Mamoros can only be understood with the Aseres HaDibros. If we want to understand or answer the question why with regard to the Asorah Mamoros, with regard to the creative process, then the answer to the question why is inherent in the Asorah Mamoros, in Matan Torah, in the Aseres HaDibros. Excuse me, not in the Aseres HaMamoros, but in the Aseres HaDibros. And Yeshayahu HaNovi tells us, Im lo brisi yom v'layla, if not for the bris of Torah, of yom v'layla, we study Torah, v'gisiba yom v'layla, chukos shomayim v'aretz lo samti. God did not reveal himself in chukos shomayim v'aretz, meaning in the laws of nature, in what we call Matan HaHechrech, the deterministic world of causality, but not for one purpose. And what was his purpose? To create a place, a location, so to speak, for his revelation of Brisi, of the Matan Cherus, of the Aseres HaDibros. The Aseres HaDibros are the deeper inner meaning and reason and goal of creating the Asorah Mamoros. Asorah Mamoros is only a means to an end, to create a world of Chukos Shamayim V'aretz, so that Brisi, Yom V'Layla, so that the wisdom of Hashem, the deeper wisdom of Hashem, the Chochmas HaTorah, the Chochmah of Matan Cherus, of the free world of moral law, religious law that was revealed in the experience of Har Sinai, Matan Torah, that's what justifies the creation of the world. So the inner meaning and goal and purpose that motivates the creation of the world, the Asorah Mamoros, is the Asorah HaDibros. And perhaps, says the Pachad Yitzchak, we can begin to understand the famous words of the Maharal Miprag in his work on Chanukah. Ner Mitzvah V'Torah are. The Maral is famous for presenting the following fundamental principle. The Hisnagdus of Yavan to Klal Yisrael is because of the power of Yavan, that's very unique to Yavan, of their chachma, of their wisdom. This is what the Maral says. He calls it min b'mino chotzeitz, that you have two things which are both chachma. You have chachmas Yavan and chachmas Yisrael. And that's why there's such a sharp confrontation and profound confrontation, a dangerous one, between Yavan and Klal Yisrael. They are both dedicated to chachma in a very profound way. It means, from the perspective of Yavan, there was a dveikus, there was almost a dedication, it's heart and soul, to the chachma of Teva, to nature, to empirical science. Obviously, again, this is my own comment, Aristotle is one of the, if not the father of modern science. Again, most of his theories have been rejected, but certainly the emphasis on trying to understand the laws of nature, as we do in science, comes from Aristotle. Plato had a certain different kind of approach, but Aristotelian philosophy in ancient Greek there's a tremendous emphasis on the study of Teva, Chochmas HaTeva. That is what they're interested in. And as a result, their whole perspective was influenced by Chochmas HaTeva. Their Weltanschauung is one of Hechrech. You know, everything is determined, everything is cause and effect. And that perspective is totally antithetical and undermines the very roots of Torah, because the essence of Torah is only meaningful because Torah is Matan Chirus, is the gift of freedom and choice, where man is not determined by his actions. So from the perspective of the study of science, the Yisoda Yisodos, the foundation of all foundations, is the belief in causality. Everything is an effect that's caused by a previous cause. And from the perspective of Torah, man is brought to be challenged and make a decision. He's free to decide one way or the other. And this is how we can define the very unique nature of the opposition of Yavan to Yisrael. It's an expression or an application of what we call in Torah Samachshav, we call this Zelu Maseh, when you have, you know, one side going in one polar extreme and the other in the opposite. You know, we always speak about different midos that are polar opposites one of the other. Here, Yavan, with relationship to Yisrael, in the Koach HaChochma, in the profound nature of wisdom, are antithetical. Because when the Chochma that you study is dedicated to analyze and dissect the will of God from the perspective of what we call Maisa Bracious, of Chochma Sateva, of the Asara Mamoros, then although the Chochma of Torah is also Chochma and also is Chakiros, is investigations and inquiries into the will of God, but obviously, these two pathways, and again, I shouldn't use the word pathways, because they're really the contact here, or the point of confrontation is on the same pathway, because Chukei HaTeva and Chukei HaTorah both represent the revelation of the will of God, and even though Yesharim Darkei Hashem, when you go down the pathway of God, you will be a yashar, you know, you're going down the righteous and upright pathway, but nevertheless, the poshe and the tzaddik are both going down the same pathway, they go both trudging or marching on the same road, but where tzaddikim get to the right place, poshim yikashlubam, they trip and they fall. So we talk about chachmas yavan as a chachma which Hidbika benafsham, it actually grafted onto the very souls a sovereign rulership of the essence of the concept of Hechrech, that everything is cause, that everything is an effect of a previous cause, and therefore the Chachma of Yavan is now transformed into a wisdom which will bring darkness to the eyes of the people of Israel, because it's so antithetical as to undermine the entire concept of Torah and its wisdom. But on the other side of the same coin, the opposition of Hashkafas Yisrael to Hashkafas Yavan in its core deep source emanates from the fact that there is a contact, a point of contact, a common, you know, line that conjoins both the approach of Knesset Yisrael and the approach of Yavan Lahavdil. They're walking down the same, their lines overlap, the road overlaps. And to the extent to which Yavan deserves some sort of credit for its dedication to Chachma, to wisdom, to try to reveal the will of God, in this case in nature, they deserve some sort of reward in inverted commas. And their reward, even though they are the enemies of Knesset Yisrael, is paid up through Meitav meaning the best of the best, by Knesset Yisrael. And therefore, even though the Holy Writ cannot be translated into any language, the exception is going to be the language of Yavan. Yefefifuso shel Yafes nidreshes hi b'olei shem. So when we get back to the hisnagdus, the conflict, this very volatile head-on collision between Yavan and Yisrael, we're really talking about a collision and a friction within the power of human intellect, of human wisdom. And therefore, the dual nature of the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and Yavan. On the one hand, Yavan is Choshech because it represents Hechrech, whereas Klal Yisrael represents Cherus and freedom. But on the other hand, we can begin to understand why Yavan is rewarded, so to speak, but with the merit of entering into the Oel Shel Shem, which means the language of the Holy Writ, because they too are Dovek, are clinging and dedicated to Chachma. And now if we get back to our original question, why was the decree of Yavan against the Jewish people, Ein lachem chelek b'Elokei Yisrael? They're not saying reject the Torah. They're saying Ein lachem chelek b'Elokei Yisrael. You have no chelek. Let's try to analyze that. We're going to now turn the clock back to the parasha of the marriage of Yitzchak. And if you remember, Eliezer Eved Avram in Parashas Chayisara is sent on as the agent of Avram. And there's a lot of minute detail in the story. Every part of the episode of Eved Avram of Eliezer is recorded by the Torah. And every expression of Eliezer when he comes in front of Lavan and Besuel is recorded by the Torah. Something that's so unusual. You know, you take all of Masech the Shabbos and put it to one pasuk in the Torah, Mechalem os Yumas, you know, Komalach lo Sasu, that's it. An entire Masech. But when it comes to the process of finding a Shidduch for Yitzchak and the story of Eliezer Eved Avram, we find the Torah going into such minute detail that it fills up Yirio Shlemus of the Torah. And Chazal say, Yofasi Chosin Shal Avdei Avos. What deep and beauty can we find in the simple language and the dialogue of the Avdei Avos, of the servants of the Avos, Yosef Mitarosin Shal Banim, even greater than the Torah itself. Share kama gufe alochas lolamadnu el mivav yisera. Sometimes from one letter in the Torah, we learn many different alochas. If it's an extra letter, we dash in it. But Parshas Eliezer is over and over again the same story. You know, first Eliezer is on his way and he has a plan, and then he finally meets up with Rivka and he explains the whole. Everything is in detail. Why? And I think what we're seeing here is a Torah that precedes Har Sinai, and a Torah that comes after Har Sinai. We have 613 mitzvos that are given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And the Rambam says over and over again that even though the mitzvah of Mila, for example, was given in Parshas Lech Lecha to Avraham Avinu, the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe was given to Yaakov Avinu, Parshas Vayetze, nevertheless, Nitna Torah and Ischat Shaloch, the Rambam says, our fulfillment of these mitzvahs of Mila, Gid Anoshe, etc., are not because they were given and revealed and commanded to the Avos, but because we were commanded through Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. But we see from this that our fulfillment of the mitzvos is not a continuation. Einonu mamshichin es kiyum mitzvoseinu al yerushas ha'avos. It's not because of the legacy of the Avos, but anything that belongs to Torah is connected not to the Avos, but to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's called Torah's Moshe Avdi in Tanakh. But nevertheless, when we're talking about the name of Klal Yisrael as a unique, singular people, nation amongst the nations of the world, here we find the opposite. Moshe doesn't play the role. We are called Elokei Avram. Our essence, our name is reflected in Avram Avinu. Elokeinu veElokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak. We never say Elokei Moshe. When we talk about the name of God that is Miyuchad, that is designated for our nation in singular, to the exclusion of other nations, we're talking about the Avos. And the reason for that is because Anu Roim Eitzal Yochid Shu Talmid Muvak L'Rabo Uben Neman Li'Aviv. Let's give the following paradigm. When we speak about a situation of an individual as a disciple, he's a protege, you know, he's a dedicated disciple to his Rebbe, we call him a Talmud. When we talk about the relationship between a son and his father, we call him not a Talmud, we call him a Ben, and we say Neman Li'Aviv. He is loyal to his father. What does that mean? He says, our Torah is received, each and every one of us, from our Rebbe. He gives us the Derech Avodah. He tells us exactly how to implement the mitzvahs of the Torah. But what prepares us? What makes us capable of receiving the Torah of our Rebbe? There's a natural process of preparation which makes each and every one of us into a receptacle to receive the Torah from our Rebbe. And that ability, that akshara, that preparation, is indeed a legacy that's bequeathed to us by our fathers. For example, we use the phrase that a person has his father's cup, his father's head. We don't say about a Talmud that he has his Rebbe's cup, his Rebbe's head. When we say about a person that he's a Talmud Muvak to his Rav, to his Chacham, and we say that a person is an upstanding son to his father, and even if his father's a Chacham, we're saying fundamentally two different things. Our intention is that this son has the Moach of his father, and that gives him the ability to receive the Torah of his Rav. So again, we can talk about the same individual and his relationship to two different quote-unquote fathers, to his Rebbe and his biological father. But we're talking about two different relationships. One is the Hechsher, meaning the preparations, and the other is the ultimate clincher. So as far as being a Talmud and receiving the Torah, that's from his Rebbe. He's a Talmud Muvak to his Rebbe. As far as setting up a head, so to speak, with the capacity, the natural capacity of Heksha to receive the Torah, that's from his father. And the same thing is true not only with regard to the individual member of Klal Yisrael, but with regard to Knesset Yisrael as a collective entity. We say Elokei Avoseinu. What we're referring to is that we as the people, the nation of Israel, have received an inheritance from our fathers, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. That's Elokei Avoseinu. That inheritance, what have our forefathers, our ancestors bequeathed to us? It's the Hakshara Tiv'it, the natural ability, the potential to become a receptacle for the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So on the one hand, we're Elokei Avram, and on the other hand, it's Torah's Moshe. These are two different phases. We have the cup, so to speak, the propensity for studying Torah, receiving Torah from our forefathers, but we have the Torah that we get from Moshe Rabbeinu. So if we divide these two into potential and actual, the potential to receive Torah comes from our avos. And that's what makes us a unique people. Our avos, our ancestors, our forefathers, bequeathed to us, they imbue in us the potential rather than the actual. The bekoach rather than the before. So when we speak about yofesi chosin shal avdei avos mitorosin shal bonim, what it means is that the bekoach is even more important. It's primary vis-a-vis the before. Why is the bekoach more important? Because without the bekoach, there's nothing to start with. The beginning, the kickoff, is the bekoach, the potential. And the avdei avos are creating that bekoach in Knesset Yisrael. In the marriage relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka, we have another link in the chain of creating Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, of the Bekoach that is the essence of Klal Yisrael. The Torah and Shalbanim, the Befal, is when we receive that Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. So all the mitzvahs have to come from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Befal. However, whatever mitzvahs were given to the Avos, that's all part and process, part and parcel of the process of creating the propensity, the character, the nature of Klal Yisrael as a nation that's singular, that can receive the Torah. And now let's ask the question, what is the attack of Yavon? If they're trying to make us mumrim, if they're trying to make us violators of the Torah, to bring us off the Derech HaTorah, then it would have been Ein lechem chelek b'Torah's Moshe. But that's not what it says. It says Ein lechem chelek b'Elokei Yisrael. Yisrael is a reference to the Avos. Elokei Yisrael means that the battle of Yavon against Knesset Yisrael is not to be mevatel the Torah's Moshe, the Chukei Ritzonecha so much, the Befoal, but rather the intention of Yavon is to destroy, to undermine the Hechsher, the soul of the Jewish people, the Nefesh HaTorah, which is inherent in the people, that's imbued in the people, that's bequeathed by the Avos, the legacy of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Elokei Avram. Not lahavir chukei ritzonech, but lahavir nachlas Yerushas Avos of Elokei Yisrael, the Bekoach. They want to go down to the roots, to the fundamental potential, the core of Klal Yisrael, which is the Avos. And that's what they mean when they say, Ein lechem chelek, we want to cut you off from your chelek, from your Yerusha, from your status and ability to inherit the Torah, but really we don't mean the Torah itself, but the Nefesh HaTorah, the Hechsher HaTorah, the Bekoach of Torah. That's what they want to get down to remove and undermine from us the Yerushas Avos. And we begin to see that the battle of Yavon against Knesset Yisrael undermines in its most primary form that point of Yerushas Avos. Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov were not part of the Aseres HaDibros that took place historically later on, but they were part of the Asura Mamoros. What was the power of Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov? What was their Derech Hashem? It was the Derech Hashem that was revealed in the Asura Mamoros. That's how the Avos were able to reveal the Ratzon Hashem. And in so doing, they created potential, they fashioned the potential of Bekoach of Knesset Yisrael. So even though the Befoal, the implementation of that potential and actuality will only come as a result of a different kind of Chochmah, the will of Hashem that's revealed in Matan Torah, in Torah's Moshe, nevertheless, Bekoach of Knesset Yisrael is the Chochmah that was revealed in the will of Hashem in Maaseh Bereishis, in the creative process. And the downfall of Chochmas Yavon, which is the will of the perspective of Matan Hechrech, which we call the Zelu Umazeh, the antithetical polar opposite of Knesset Yisrael, what they tried to do, Yavon, their intention and their direction was to take the Bekoach of Knesset Yisrael, which prepared Knesset for Torah, which means Torah Secheres, as we said before, and completely undermine that and say, Knesset, you don't have that Bekoach to accept the Torah. Ein lechem chelek b'elokei Yisrael means that what the Greeks were trying to accomplish through their decrees was to break the Yerusha that we have from the Avos. Kisha ondo malchus Yavon, we say in Alanisin. Kisha ondo malchus Yavon arshal amcha Yisrael lashkicham torasech lavir michukar tzonecha shichachas haTorah is separated lashkicham torasech as an independent category in Yeliatzma. Why? Because true, there's no doubt that Avar al Chukei Ritzonecha, which means the violation of the Torah befall of Moshe Rabbeinu, would include also Bittul Talmud Torah. But Shichas HaTorah, which was the goal of Yavon, goes way beyond that. The Shichacha represents cutting us off from the Hechsher, the preparedness and the potential of Knesset Yisrael to receive the Torah. Shichacha always means to forget something that's inherent in your mind, something that has the potential. Even the great Greek philosopher Plato understood that all of knowledge, the acquisition of knowledge, is based on that potential, that bekoach, that's in the mind. Shichacha means to undermine that bekoach. So on the one hand, lavir mechukei ritzonech, which means to be mavato, what we call toras shel harav, but lashkicham torasecha means to destroy the mach, which means the propensity, the capacity, the potential to receive the Torah Sarav. And if this be the case, we can begin to answer the question that we began with, that we started with: why is it that of all the mitzvos midivrei sofrim, we find the sugya of Heichan Tzivana, the question that Chazal raised in the Gemara and Shabbos, is directed dafka towards Ner Chanukah? Because the greatest expression, the most profound expression of Torah of a Talmud, how do you gauge if a Talmud is a true, genuine student of his Rav? The answer is to go back and understand and evaluate the Hechsher, the natural propensity of the Talmud. So how do you know if the Talmud has achieved this propensity? Or to formulate the question in a different way, how do we know that the Torah that's being taught by the Rav to his Talmud is fitting, it's appropriate, it corresponds to the natural propensity of the Talmud? Is the Rebbe teaching the Talmud something that fits? It's a good fit, like a ball that fits into a glove, of the natural potential of the Talmud. Is it a reflection corresponding to the potential of the Talmud? And the answer to that, says the Pachad Yitzchok, is to evaluate the chidushim, the insights of the Talmud. If the Talmud is successful in creating new chachma, new Torah, that's very profound, and is organized in a methodology that reflects the style and the methodology of Torah's Rabbo, that is an absolute indication and proof that the befoel, which is the Torah Sarav, is appropriate and fits the Bekoach, which is the natural Haksharativ It of the Talmud, which, as we said before, the Talmud inherited from his fathers. So again, in Hebrew we have a word, Hata'ama. Hata'ama means when you have two things that fit together, you know, like pieces of Lego that fit together. That Hata'ama means it really corresponds in a perfect way. The way of evaluating the precise barometer to evaluate the hata'ama, you know, whether there's a corresponding relation between the wisdom of the Rebbe and the moach of the Talmud, which is the moach of the father, is to what extent has the Rebbe succeeded in developing the koach hachidush, the potential for insights of the Talmud? Because the chidushim of the Talmud will be, in a successful situation, a reflection of Torah Sarav. It would be taking the Torah Sarav, the direction, the methodology of the Rebbe, and applying it in new areas, breaking new ground. That's what Chidushim are all about. And this is true not just for the individual, but it's true for the collective entity of Knesset Yisrael. What are the Chidushei Torah of Klal Yisrael as an entity, as a nation? They are what we call Divrei Sofrim. They are the Takanos and the Gzeros and the Mitzvos that were established by the Chachmei Yisrael. The Pasuk in Shir Hashirim in the 7th Perek, Pasuk Yidalet, Chadoshim Gam Yishonim Dodi Tzafanti Loch. Chazal say that this Pasuk of Chadoshim is an allusion to Divrei Sofrim. The secret of the success of Knesset Yisrael in its Chidushim is the fact that they came up with Divrei Sofrim, with new halachos, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted. There was Askomas Das HaMakom, there was an agreement and a certification, if you will, on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the MS, about the fact that there is a Hata'ama, again to use that word, there's a corresponding relationship between Torah's Moshe and Elokei Avoseinu, meaning what we as a collective entity inherited from our avos, from our ancestors, with that potential, we were able to learn the Torah's Moshe, to receive the Chachma of Torah, and to create new Chidushim Divrei Sofrim, and those Divrei Sofrim reflect a continuous process that is loyal to Torah's Harav. We have the Moach of the Father. We as a people of Israel have the proper Hakshara that we've gotten, we've inherited from our Avos, and now through our Chidushim, specifically through our Divrei Sofrim, we prove, we demonstrate beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have the Moach HaAv, and therefore the potential to receive the Torah Sarav is awesome. And the proof text is the Divrei Sofrim, the Chidushim, which Hashem loves and cherishes because they reflect the Hatama between Torah Sarav and Moach HaAv. And therefore, the entire dialectic discussion about the power of Divrei Sofrim with regard to Birchas HaMitzvahs, Asher Kidshanu Mitzvosim V'Tzivonu, is established here with regard to Ner Chanukah. Even though there are many Birchas HaMitzvah on Mitzvahs B'Divrei Sofrim that came before Ner Chanukah, because in truth, the entire power of Divrei Sofrim is identical with the deeper inner meaning of the Mitzvah Ner Chanukah. Even though we talk about Ner Chanukah and the battle, the military success of the Chashmonoim against the Yevonim, but the real pnimius of the Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, the Purkan that was referring to in Ner Chanukah from Yavon, is the clarification, the Birur, we call it to bring to light the power of Chidush of Knesset Yisrael. The fact that even though the Greeks tried to undermine our Moach HaAv, our Hakshara, our potential, our Bekoach of to receive the Torah by virtue of the legacy and the inheritance that we got from our Avos, that's what they were attacking, in which case we would have no ability to be receptacles for the Torah Sarav. The Chidush of Divrei Sofrim, in this case Ner Chanukah, proves beyond a shadow of a doubt our power of Chidushim, of true Chidushim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts, because we have a Hatama, as we said before, between the Torahs Ha'ah, between the Moach Ha'av and the Torah Sarav. Despite the attempts of Yavon to declare Ein lechem chelek be'elokei ha'avos, Elokei Yisrael, nevertheless we have a chelek in Elokei Avos, and to prove it, we've accepted the Torah's Moshe, and we will project the derech, the methodology, the truth of Torah, by creating new Chidushim in Divrei Sofrim. Heichad Tzivaner of Nechemiah says, Sha'al Avicha V'yagedcha, ask your fathers, meaning the Moach HaAv, which was granted to us, which was a Nachla, that gave us the Teva, the nature, the inherent ability to receive Torah and receive it well, this is the power of Divrei Sofrim. That's what Rabbi Nechemiah says, Sha'al Avicha V'Agedcha. If the Moach Ha'av was truly inherited by the Banim, if the Ben is Neman, he's a Ben Hagun Li'aviv, he has received the Teva, the nature of the Hakshara, to receive Torah and to understand Torah and to create in Torah. That is the basis for Divrei Sofrim, the power, the authority of Chachamim, of the nation of Israel, to create new mitzvos, which we call the Divrei Sofrim, is written in the Pasuk, Sha'al Avicha V'Agedcha. And the Chachmei Ha'emes, those who understand the truth, have told us that the holiday of Chanukah, more than any other holiday, has as its fundamental point and its goal, Emunas Chachamim, the belief in the power of the Chachamim. That's the tikkun, that's the opposite, Zelu Maseh, of Chachma Yevanis. Because the Yevanim say, you have no ability through your Chachamim to create new Torah, because you never inherit from your, you never succeeded. We're going to see to it that you are cut off and alienated from the Moach Ha'av, from the potential to create Torah and receive Torah. We're going to go down to the roots, to the foundation. And therefore, we say to Yovan, no, we have Emunas Chachamim. We are dedicated to the Chachamim, to Sha'al Avicha V'Agedcha, because the Chachamim represent the Hemshech, the continuation of the Nachlas Avos, of what we received from our Avosenu. And therefore, we are true, genuine receptacles of Torah. And that expresses itself in Divrei Sofrim, in those Chidushim. So the real source for our understanding, our grasp of the redemption from Yavan, the success in the battle of confrontation against Yavan, the source is this Gemara in Shabbos that we started with, that organized, was Koveya and established, that Divrei Sofrim, the power and the authority of Divrei Sofrim, is inherent and connected to Ner Chanukah. That itself is the success, the triumph of Klal Yisrael against Chochmas Yovan. Yes, we declare, Heichon Tzivanu Sha'al Avicha V'Agedcha, Ner Chanukah is the light of Geulas Yovan, because it screams out, it declares, we have inherited Elokei Yisrael from the God of our fathers, the propensity, the potential, the nature in our souls, in our very being, the Hakshara Tiv'it, to receive the Torah, and then to be true Talmidim, genuine, successful Talmidim, to our Rabbanim, to our Chachamim, and to create Chidushim and Divrei Sofrim, which are acceptable, which are true, which receive the divine Haskama, the acceptance by Hashem, the approval by God, because we are the Moach Ha'av, ready to become Talmidim of the Rav. The Moach Ha'av sets up the Talmid Ha'av. As we said before, the Hechsher is primary. That's the object that the Yevanim were trying to attack. And Kisu Lechem Al Keren Hashar, Ein Lechem Chelek Elokei Yisrael. We have a Chelek Elokei Yisrael. This is what we're going to say, that the Yevanim wanted to be Mashkiach Torah, not just to prevent us from learning Torah, Zkukei Ritzonecha, but to be Mashkiach Torah means the very potential to receive Torah. And that we have completely, successfully destroyed the opposition, the Snagdus of Yavan, of their Chachma, which is a Chachma, as we said, of the Asar Mamoros, the Chachma of Torah Hechrech, and we replaced it with a Chachma of Aseres HaDibros, which we received from Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, the Chachma of Torah HaChirus. We are free. We can take the Yerusha, the inheritance from our Avos, and with it receive the Torah of our Chachamim, of our Rabbonim, and even create new Torah Al-Piderech Rabosenu, Al-Piderech, the true methodology and the approach of our Chacham. We have the propensity and the propensity and the potential to do so. Yiratzo, may it be His will that we successfully, through our dedication to Torah, to reveal the Ratzon Hashem in the Torah's Hachirus of the Aseres HaDibros, to be Zochah, to be true disciples, to be what we call a Talmud Muvak, and of course, a Talmud Muvak of Moshe Rabbeinu has the capacity to create Chidushei Torah Amitiyim, Ken Yiratzon, Amen.